Hi, I'm Abigail, and I'm addicted to money. So for the next 50 seconds, I'd like to feel dirty, inconsiderate, manipulative, and ashamed. I apparently agreed to play the game of life by the rules made by the rich in order to make them more rich. And because I feel powerless and out of control, I am asking you to listen to this ad for Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your computer or phone. Anchor will distribute your podcast wherever you can get podcasts. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And everything you need to make a podcast is in one place. So download Anchor for free on the app or go to anchor.fm to get started. So yeah, that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
What is up, you guys? You're listening to the Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host. And this week we're going to talk about my relationship with kink. We have Nicholas Tanek from his podcast, who will be on the next two episodes, which will be really great. And he talks all about kinks on his podcast. So his podcast is Your Kinky Friends. He's really great. I talked to him last year in December. And so this is going to be, that'll be next week, is we talked to him about his kinks and that stuff like that. Hopefully. I'm still trying to recover all of my stuff from my computer. It's really old, so it's taking me a little bit longer, and I'm having a little bit more trouble than I originally thought, but that's okay, because we'll figure it out. If I can't find it, then I will put I did an interview with him for his podcast, and I'll put that up, and then when I find that other stuff that I lost, and I will find it, I'm dead determined to find it, I'll put that up. I guess it's like bonus content or something. I don't know how I'll figure out how to do that yet. But I figured in honor of the upcoming, probably one of my least favorite holidays, probably one of my top five least favorite holidays is Valentine's Day. I just don't really care about Valentine's Day. But it seemed like a good time to have my relationship with kink and, you know, your relationships with kink and all of those different things up for in honor of one of my least favorite holidays. Because it's sort of supposed to be like the holiday of love or whatever. It's completely a manufactured holiday, but that's not what we're here to talk about right now. Kinks. I mean, I will be honest. I never really knew what kinks were until probably, I don't know, several years ago. And by that, I just mean like probably like 5 years ago, something like that. I don't know. I was never really... It's pretty vanilla when it came to just, like, sex in general. I did, like, some, like, wild, crazy things, you know, like, sexually and intimately with people. But they were, like, crazy for me, okay? So they weren't, you know, like, I wasn't, like, on the back of a horse or anything like that. Like, it was just, you know, like, I remember I had a boyfriend when I was in high school, and we had, like, sex on a golf course kind of a thing. You know, like, really bland, boring, like, that kind of stuff. It seemed a little bit out there and, like, sketchy and, like, and, you know, it was, like, exhilarating for me at the time, but it wasn't, probably, like, it wasn't the most out there thing. You know, but whatever. So kink, I mean, like, yeah, I didn't really figure out what those were, probably until about 5 years ago. So it is what it is. And once I figured out what they were, I think I was sort of like at very first introduced to the idea of kink and like the concept of them through like feet. So that was probably my very first introduction to them. And that just like didn't seem like I'm not into feet, like, you know, as a kink specifically, it's just not my thing. If it's your thing, like, cool. I don't really care. It's just not personally something that, like, you know, is my thing. Like, it doesn't arouse me. But I was interested in the idea. I was like, oh, okay. So, like, that's what it is. So it would be something that's, like, considered, it's more like a niche sexual thing for a person, like, to help them get aroused. And so I started like just sort of, you know, occasionally looking into what they were, what all the different kinds were. I talked to some people. I watched some porn videos. I mean, you know, just sort of like very, very basic research. I didn't like go just like straight into the deep end. But what I did find was that, like BDSM, that seemed to be something very kinky or like considered kinky, that I wanted to try. Like it looked like fun. It very much scared me at first. It definitely very much scared me at first. Because I wasn't very, I was like, I don't know if I would like, you know, like the whips and the chains and the, you know, all that stuff. Like I wasn't sure. But as I started diving deeper into like what all BDSM actually was, or is, sorry, I started to realize that, oh, like, no, it's very much, it's not necessarily, like, it is very much about control, but control for everybody, and safety first and comfort, incredibly respectful, very, very respectful, and just feeling, you know, good about where you're going with it. I don't know if that makes sense. But once I sort of realized, because I have a lot of trauma, like sexually, I probably also have a lot of like repressed sexual stuff, like fears. Like I'm somebody who doesn't really, you know, I can't do loud noises, like things like that. Like I get very jumpy and very skittish when it comes to that. I also can't do, not just like loud noises, but also very like strange noises. I can't take, it's just like nails on a chalkboard. Like I can't take the sound of like paper rustling, like I can't, or like tapping, like on a desk that I can't, it's like, I can do it for a little while, but I can't deal with it for very long. So like strange sounds like that, like I can't handle it. And so that was another reason why I was sort of hesitant and very much like, well, I don't know, like about, like, I don't really know how I feel about this. But again, once I figured out that it was very much like consciously centered around everyone being comfortable and feeling safe, I was like, oh, okay. The other thing too, that sort of, and I'll probably do a, because we did an episode with Lucy Power, love her so much. We'll have her back on the podcast too. And we'll probably do several others about like one specifically about like masturbation, just stuff like that. The reason I bring up masturbation is because I did start masturbating at a very young age. Obviously, I did not know what it was. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that, like, it felt good, you know? And I liked the way that it made me feel. And so I always kind of just used like my hands. And I did that for a very long time. And it wasn't until probably 5 or 6 years ago when my now husband, then boyfriend, he started like introducing me to toys and, you know, like dildos, vibrators, very pretty basic stuff. But I was pretty adamantly like against it. I was just like, no, I don't really think I would like it that much. Like, it seems strange. I don't know why. Like, I'm happy like just doing it the way that I've been doing it for a really long time. I don't really. It was very much like, it seemed very out of my comfort zone. And I was just kind of like, and not because like I thought it was bad or anything like that. It was more just like, I'm good. Like, I just didn't really have any interest in doing any of that. To me, I'm one of those people where it's just like, when I find something that I like, I will try the shit out of like whatever products or, you know, pretty much anything. But the minute I find like the one that I like, that becomes my go-to one. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter. It could be gum flavor to, you know, dildo brands. It could be fucking anything. Purses to fucking, you know, office supplies. Like, once I find my brand of like pen, for example, like if I find a brand of pen that I just love, that I'm in love with, that I really like this brand of pen, you could advertise to me about how amazing this brand new pen is. It's going to make my hand not hurt. It's so awesome. You know, whatever. You know, you can customize your colors. I don't care. I'm not buying your product. Not because it's probably a bad product. I mean, it could be a great product. You could not be lying and be telling me the complete truth about everything about your product. But once I find the one, like, pen that I want to use, like, that's pretty much it. Until they, like... like, something would have to happen in order for me to not want to use that specific brand or style or whatever again. So, like, they would either have to, like, stop making them, and then, but then I would, you know, go and find, you know, whatever, you know, the last dregs of the, you know, of those pens until there literally are no left. Like, I just won't. I'm very, once I find my thing, I'm like, nope, this is it. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm using. And I don't care what you say. And I'm like that about everything. I don't know what that says about me as a person. Because like I'm pretty open-minded, especially if it's something new, that I'm like willing to try. But once I like find that thing, like, nope. Like, then I become incredibly close-minded and just like stuck in my ways. I'm like, no, I like this one. This is good. Why would I do that? Why would I change? No. And like I said, I'm like that with everything. Well, pretty much everything. I hesitate to like work in absolutes, just because I think that's some dangerous territory, but you know, for pretty much everything I could think of, yeah. And so it was the same thing with me with, like, masturbation and sex. It was like, no, I found, like, no, I'm good. Like, no. Because then I start going, like, why would I want to spend money on, like, dildos or vibrators or, you know, sex toys or, you know, all these other kinky things when, like, I'm good with what I've got. Like, why would I do that? I'm happy. We don't need to change this shit up. It's fine. Everything's cool. Like, I'm happy. You just be happy that I'm happy in my, you know, in my situation. And so, like, my husband now, he was the one that had to be like, no, I'll buy them for you. Like, you don't even have to spend money. And he did. He would, like, buy them. And I started getting it. It just seemed, I found a lot of different things. So I discovered, now I'm ruined. Okay, now I'm completely ruined. I can never go back to like just using my hands, like naturally, you know, masturbating or whatever. He bought me a magic wand several years ago. And it's the one that like, it has the cord, but it can be cordless. So it's like really nice. It was super expensive. I think he found it at like Target or something too. Doesn't really matter where he found it. The point is he got it. And that like, so like that was the thing. Like that's now my new, like, no. This is the one. This is it. I'm not changing. But like leading up to that, I found that, one, I did not like dildos very much. I don't really know what it is about dildos that I don't really like. I think that it is a texture thing for me. It's like a mental thing. Like I know it's not real. So it sort of throws, like I can't fantasize. Or like, you know, like I can't fantasize. I can't like get in the mood, with a dildo because it's a texture thing. And so like I can't really get in the mood, because I know it's not real. I know it's just like, you know, a piece of rubber or, you know, like whatever, or like a mold of something, you know? So that's an issue. I don't really know why. It's just a thing that, like, it's one of those things for me where I'm just like, I can't. I don't know. And I mean, it's not that I don't like it in the sense that I'm like, no, it's bad. Like, fuck this. Like, no one should. No, I just don't. Like, me personally, as my person, you know, me as a person, you know, in this incarnation of my life, I just am not. No. I just don't like it. So there's that issue with the, I know it's not real. And for some reason that like makes or breaks it for me. It's like, well, I don't know. There's something about like knowing that it's not real and like not attached to like a human being that is sort of a turnoff for me that I'm just like, eh, no. Two, it is a texture thing. And it doesn't, and so it doesn't, it's not that it doesn't feel good in the sense that like, well, it hurts and I don't, you know, think that I like it hurts, it's uncomfortable. I don't like, it's not that it can be uncomfortable, but I think that's more mental. In the sense that I'm already going into the situation with like this sort of, ugh, like, ugh. It's more of a chore. It's like, I don't want to, and the texture thing too is very, I mean, and I know they've got some really good ones, you know, that, you know, they supposedly like look and feel very like a real like dick or whatever, but there's just something about it that is just like, I know it's not real. And now the texture's off. Like it doesn't feel like real skin. It doesn't feel, it's almost like it's too perfect. Like it's too perfect. It's too straight. It's too like smooth, or it's ribbed or like rigid, not rigid, but like it's got texture to it, but it just doesn't feel like it's real. And so that's a problem for me. I'm just like, ugh. I don't know. So I found that out. I found out I don't like dildos when it comes to toys. I also found out that I like vibrators. I do like vibrators. Which of course ruined me because now I'm like, I can't go back to just using like my regular hand. But whatever. This is the price I paid. It's fine. I'm happy. I'm happy with it. I'm happy with my choice. But So I do like vibrators, but one of the things that I found with the vibrators was that I don't really, so like there's like on the magic wand specifically, I'll probably reference that one a lot because that's my go-to toy now. It has like a couple of different settings. And I don't think this is exclusive just to the magic wand. I think this is something that, is pretty common among most vibrators. I don't really think I found a vibrator yet that doesn't have like various and sundry settings. But so like specifically with the magic wand, there's like a pulse. I don't like that. I don't like that setting. I like the pulse. I'm not, or it's like, I like one continuous like stream. Just one continuous thing. It's just my preference. I couldn't really tell you why. It's just my preference. That's a lie. I do think I have this sort of an idea, like a basic idea. I don't like the pulse because it feels sort of like a surprise. And I can't really anticipate because there's like, you can set it to where it's like random and like all of these different things. But I don't like that anticipation. I don't like waiting for that anticipation. I'm somebody who just doesn't like surprises in general. I don't like them. I hate surprises. Do not surprise me. I don't like that. And I think that if anything, that's probably, it's probably rooted in control. You know, it's a control thing for me. I think if I were to like go in deeper and like explore that, I think that that would be what I would find is that, you know, it's rooted in the sense that like, I don't like surprises and I like to feel like I have at least some control. Especially in a sexual scenario. I like feeling like, and I feel like there's a lot of people that feel like, you know, I want to feel like at least I have at least some modicum of control here in this situation. I don't know if mine is a little bit more pronounced than others, or maybe not as much, you know, I don't know. I would say it's probably both. So I found that, which I liked. But again, just the straight, you know, I don't like the surprise of like the pulse situation or like a random setting. I don't really like that either. I also don't like it if it goes really fast. I want it to be like a very chill, slow, vibration, I guess. So that was good. I found that I'm just like discovering these things about myself, you know, things that I like, things that I don't like. So that's fun. I do enjoy that part of like exploring those inner things about myself. Like, oh, I didn't think, cause like I said, I was very much like, no, I don't want toys, any toys. I don't care. And now I'm like, well, actually, turns out, I don't know if you can classify that as a lie, but it turns out that, yeah, I don't know if you'd classify it blah, 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 blah. I haven't had enough coffee, you guys. I don't know if it would be classified as much as a lie as it would be of just like, I just didn't know, like just naivete or ignorance. And that's fine. I'm cool with that. Because I know now, sort of, you know, I'm getting there. It's a work in progress. Progress, not perfection, you guys. So that was something that I found. And then I started watching more videos with my husband, you know, just about like various and sundry kinks. And I do kind of remember being like, is that a kink? Like, is that something? And I remember my husband kind of being like, I don't really know if he classified it as like a specific kink. But I guess it could be, I don't know. Cause a kink more to me is like a very niche thing. Like, you know, feet or hands or, you know, or even, into the obscure, you know, like food or something, which I have done. I haven't done like the full splashing. I have talked to Nicholas about this and I have talked to Lucy about this, and it's just, I don't remember if it's splooshing or splashing or whatever, but it's basically where like, they go like in a porn video, you would go and like roll around in food. And I haven't done like to that extent, but I have like played with food in a sexual capacity with like chocolate and whipped cream and stuff. And I found out it was not for me. I don't like it. And the number one reason I don't like it is because I don't like being sticky. It's a texture thing. Again, I don't like being sticky. I can't stand it. I get very like antsy and uncomfortable, and I'm just like, ugh, I just get this off of me. Just get it off. Like, I can't focus on anything. Like, it's not arousing. I'm just like, I can't do it. I can't. So, you know, that's good. I found that out. That's just, again, all right, good. I know that about myself now. Awesome. I don't need to have any more information. I don't, I also don't like messes. I don't want to say OCD because I don't think that it would be classified, maybe in a very minute capacity, OCD. But it's not like acute OCD. It's not to an extent where like, you know, I have to go into a room and flick a light 3 times. Or, I have to do certain things. It's very much more, it's more of a, like I can work in chaos in the sense that like, currently right now, like I have, you know, papers everywhere. However, it is like organized chaos because I know where everything is in there. And the reason that it's like all, it looks like a fucking disaster is because I just haven't like cleaned it yet. But once I do, then it'll. So I'm sort of, I guess I would just be like a neat freak. Probably not OCD, just like a neat freak. Probably that. Everything has a place and everything needs it to be in its place, kind of a thing. And don't touch my piles because I know what's in them. And it doesn't matter if you don't know what's in my piles. I know what's in my piles and they're where I need them to be right now. But part of the splooshing, the food one, the very like few experiences that I have had with using food in an intimate way, it was very messy and I didn't like that. So the sticky and the messiness of it, I was like, I can't, it's not for me. So that was a kink that I was like, eh, no. The other kind of kink that I guess I have found is anal. And I don't even know if you'd classify that as a kink. I really don't. So this was sort of like, I was very open to it at first. I was kind of like, oh, okay, like, sure. We'll try it. But then I tried, like, my then boyfriend, now husband, we tried it a couple of different times. It didn't really work out because it started resurfacing all of these like sexual traumas for me that I guess were like repressed, that I didn't even, like, that I hadn't thought about in years, that I hadn't really explored I hesitate to say discovered because it wasn't a discovery. I guess it was like a rediscovery of like all of these past like traumas and like these, it just started to like all come back. And it was like stuff that I completely forgot about. Like I totally, completely whether it was because it was in like, you know, a drug filled haze or an alcoholic induced, not blackout, but like haze, like that cloud of intoxication, started coming up, but it just started to like all come back. And I was just like, oh my God, like I haven't thought about in years. And not just stuff I haven't thought about in years, but stuff that like I forgot about, like happened, stuff like that. And it was just like, whoa. And so we've very much kind of backed off of that. Of anal, very much we've sort of backed off from it because I think I need to do a little bit more soul searching and stuff like that around that specific, not necessarily like subject, but that's specific area of kink, of sexual exploration. I think I need to do, yeah, I need, that needs to be something because honestly, you know, I view that as a positive. Like that's a positive thing that has come out of like exploring, you know, kink just in general, because it was like, oh, and weirdly, you know, when I very first started, it was one of those things where it was like, I was just kind of like, yeah, like, let's try it. You know, like, I'm open to it. Let's do it. Let's see what happens. I don't know if I'm going to like it. I don't know, you know, any of those things. And then it was like, but it was almost like my body was like fighting me when we started diving into that. And it was just like, and I didn't really understand that. It was like I was hesitant, but I didn't really know why. And I thought at first that it had to do with like shame, like a very, not shameful in the sense that like I'm ashamed that I want to try this. Well, there might have been some of that in there. Let's just be honest. Real talk. Yeah, there's probably a little bit of that in there. But it was more hesitancy. Haven't had enough coffee. It was more hesitancy around, I don't even really know why, because it wasn't like I was like, no, it was very much like, I want to do this. And I don't understand why like there's a hesitancy, like why every time my husband, when he would bring it up, I would kind of just be like put it off. Like, not really, like, yeah, we can, but then like also no. And I couldn't really figure out what that was about until, you know, we tried it a few times and it became, and that's when stuff started. And I was like, oh, okay. So there is something there that so EMDR is a therapeutic technique where it focuses not just like on the mind, but on the body. And it's centered around this idea that like your physical body, basically like retains memory. And like can hold trauma, you know, and that kind of stuff. And, you know, there was a period of time in there where I was kind of like, bullshit. Like, yeah, okay. Like, probably, like, I could see how that works. But also, like, not me. Like, no. That classic, you know. No. I mean, like, yeah, for, like, you know, other people. Yeah, I could totally see it. And, like, it makes total sense. Like, yeah, absolutely. But for, like, other people. Not, like, for me. Like, no, like, that's not, no. Like, not for me. Turns out... As usual, I was wrong. I was very fucking wrong. But, you know, that's okay. I don't mind being wrong. It's cool. Because I get to learn something. And so, yeah, but that was really, that kind of leads me into the BDSM thing where it was very much like, I begin to realize that this could be very therapeutic. Like it could be used in conjunction with like talk therapy and exercise and, you know, all these other things, you know, medication, that sort of thing, that it can be used as a therapeutic thing. And so that was really the first thing where I was like, okay, so there are a lot of positive things that come out of this. And because I do consider that a positive thing. It's hard. And it's stuff that I haven't thought about in a while. But I do think that it is a positive thing, that it is good that I'm able to explore that. And I feel very lucky and very privileged to be able to have that experience where I'm able to now be in a relationship, A, with someone who is willing to let me go and dive in and explore these things and realize that, okay, maybe we need to not do that until, you know, some things are resolved. But also that sort of leads me into the BDSM, because once I realized that, like, that was really the thing that I was like, okay. This can be therapeutic, because that had been like mentioned, that it can be very therapeutic, like therapy through sex kind of a thing. And it seemed kind of quacky. It seemed very kind of like, what? Really? No, yeah. Yeah, kind of. For me, at least. But then, so then I was like, okay, so like what else is with this BDSM thing? And that's when I realized that, not realized, but that's when I began to understand that it can be used as a therapeutic thing, but also to kind of help you bring back or like give you back that, reclaim that part of yourself. Where, you know, it can be about like control, but it's also very much about trust, and openness and honesty, and about being like, you know, so they have these things where it's like a soft line and a hard line. And a soft line is something kind of like where I was at, where it was like, yes and no. Like, I'm open to doing it, but, like, I don't know if I'm going to like it. So just understand that, like, if we do this and I'm like, no, and I, like, say my safe word or, you know, whatever, then I'm just like, okay. Like, no. We tried it. We gave it a shot. Not my thing. Let's do something else. So that's like what a soft line is, as far as I am aware, like as far as I understand it. Again, we'll have to talk about Nicholas. We'll have not about him, with him, to him. He is a person. But talk to him about that. Just to get some clarification, that I'm telling you guys this correctly. Lucy would probably know too. We should have her back on as well. I loved her. She was so sweet. But then like a hard line is basically just like a hard no. Like, absolutely not. Nope. No. I'm not doing that. No. I have no interest in doing that. I don't want to try it. No. So that's what like a hard line is. Or I think it could also be like, yeah, I tried that once and I hated it. So no, I'm not doing it again. Like, no. So that's what I think a hard line, as far as I am in understanding, that's what the difference is between a hard line and a soft line in a BDSM capacity. And so it's about, it, you know, that, and that It's a way of, first, it helps with communication sexually and intimately with the person that you're with, because you have to be very open and honest about, like, you know, I want to try this, but I'm not sure. I'm kind of scared. I'm really nervous, you know, or whatever. And so, but then there's that, so there's that openness and then there's that honesty there too. But then there's that trust that, like, your partner will be like, okay, like, cool. Okay. Like, wait, may, like, is it a hard no or is it like a soft no? Because if it's a soft no, then that means that, like, all right, like, let's revisit it. Let's see what's going on here. Maybe not right now. Let's not do it right now. Like, you come to me and you tell me when you want to try this again. But if it's a hard no, that's okay too. I understand. I get it. Like, we just won't, you know, I won't bring it up. So there's that, and then there's that trust that, you know, that they'll be okay with that and that they won't. And so it really helps to, like, solidify and form that trust bond there. And then it is about control. There is an element of control, but it's not in control in the way that, like, so if you watch a porn video, it's very obvious, like, where the control is and what is going on. But it is deeper than that. It does go deeper than that, because the control is, I don't really think that the control is in the hands of the dominant one. I think that the control is really more in the hands, I really do view that the majority of the, you know, control, if it was on a scale, the scales of control are tipped more in the sub, so the submissive's favor. And the reason that I say that is because they are the ones that are supposed to have the control. They're the ones that are that get to be like, that get to say their safe word. And if they say their safe word, whatever that safe word is, the dominant one is supposed to stop. Like, immediately. Even if they don't say their safe word. Even if like, you can tell if they're like, I'm really not comfortable with this. Like, I, you know, whatever my, like, whatever. The dominant person is supposed to stop. So there is that trust there. And you have to have that trust there in order for the BDSM relationship to work. But that control is usually all in the hands of the sub, where if they're like, no, I'm done, then, you know, it's over. It looks to be like the control, and there is an element there of control. I have been both dominant and submissive. And I do like both. I have noticed that, and my husband and I have talked about this, that in, like, when I'm with him, I want to be more submissive. But if there's going to be, we have not done this yet. We're still trying to figure our way in and, like, how and that kind of thing. But if there was another, like, a third person involved, I want to be dominant. And he's okay with that. He's like, I don't care. That's fine, baby, if that's what you want. Especially if it's another woman. I don't know what that's about. I don't know if that is an insecurity on my part. Of, like, I want to have control over another woman. I want to have control over, like, I like feeling like I'm the alpha woman. There's probably a little bit of that. Well, not a little bit. There's probably a lot of that in there. However, I have also said that if there is another man involved, I also want to be dominant. Like, basically, if there's any other third person involved, I want to be dominant. And I don't know if that stems from, like I said, wanting to have that control, wanting to feel like I'm the one in control here. Like, if it's almost protective, it could be. It's possible. Because, like I said, I don't necessarily believe that emotion is stronger if another woman, like if my husband's like, well, what if we got another woman? That emotion, that urge, that feeling of like, I need to be the, like, I need to be the dominant one if there's going to be another woman involved is stronger than if there is another man. Like, so if my husband were to say, okay, we want to have a, you know, a third person involved in this, but, you know, there's this dude. I still have that urge to be like, yeah, well, I still want to be in control. Like, I still want to be the dominant one, even if it's a man. But it's kind of said in that sort of calmer, like, that calmer, less aggressive, very much less aggressive tone. Versus if it's a female. I have noticed that about myself, that there is, I do seem to be more, much more aggressive, much more like, okay, that's fine if we can, yeah, we can have another woman. That's totally fine. Just everybody needs to know that I'm going to be, you know, very arrogant on my part, incredibly arrogant, very arrogant, very aggressive for really no reason. very, very aggressive and very, you know, arrogant for no other reason other than I think it's threatening. I think it is. I think that there is an element of threat there. And that's just, that has nothing to do with like what another woman did, like anybody, you know, any other, because we usually talk about it in very arbitrary terms. And I think that stems from my own insecurity. That definitely stems from my own insecurity and my own need to feel incredibly protective, which is a little bit odd considering the fact that there's not really any threat here to protect anyone from. It does feel threatening, I think. And again, that stems from my own insecurity of feeling like I am not good enough. Like there's still a question after all this time of, you know, what if he likes her more? What if he likes her better? What if she's prettier than me? What if, you know, those kinds of things. Insecure, very elementary school, very, you know, very childish. Yeah, and it just is. And I have noticed that, and I am working on that. I'm trying to very much explore that. And sort of figure out what's going on there. That feeling of inadequacy on my part. So I have noticed that there is, that I do have that. I'm much more, I want to be dominant, whether it's a male or a female, or non-binary, you know, or any human being, spiritual entity, that kind of thing. Because I would consider myself to be pansexual. I don't really care what you are. It makes no difference to me. First of all, it's not my life. Do whatever makes you happy, man. I don't care. I really don't. And it doesn't bother me. It's just never, that stuff has never really bothered me. Your gender, what gender you identify with, or your sexual orientation, like that just doesn't bother me. It just never really has. There, to me, there, like, there's so many other important things that, like, I want to know about you as a person. That, like, if you are, you know, non-binary or, you know, transgendered or, you know, whatever, like, I don't, that's so far down on the list of things that are important to me, that matter to me about you as a person, then it's just not, it's not, I don't care. I mean, not if you're a terrible person, you know, like if you've killed a bunch of people or, you know, you've, you know, some, you know, stuff like that, like that, you know, that kind of stuff is, that's a little bit different. But I don't, it's just, that stuff has never bothered me. So I would, I guess, I would consider myself pansexual in that because I just, and I just recently learned these terms that, so bisexual is like you, yeah, you're just, you don't care if they're male or female. And I don't. So I would consider myself bisexual, in that capacity that I don't really care. But I have learned that, if you consider that like pansexual means that you really don't care, like that's, it's more inclusive. Apparently I did not know that. It makes sense to me though that would be considered more inclusive. So I would consider myself pansexual. I don't discriminate. We don't discriminate here on the Manic Pixie Weirdo. That's so, like I said, that's so far down on the list of things that that matter to me about a person, that it's just, if you're happy, then I'm happy for you. But I could care less if you, what you identify as or any of those things. That's not important to me. I want to know about you as an individual. Like, what kind of person are you? What are the things that you value? Those kinds of things. So sorry, I digress. That's the tagline of this podcast. I digress. But yeah, so, but I have noticed that in that sort of sexual capacity with the BDSM that it, with the BDSM kink specifically, that if a third party, is brought into the conversation, specifically with me and my husband, I tend to get more aggressive if, that person is identified as a female rather than a male. I still want to be dominant if there's any sort of third party. Again, I think that stems sort of from my own insecurity. Plus there is a power, trip that I get from that feeling. This intoxicating like power idea. Now we have not had really that experience yet. And so I don't know if I would even be good at it, but I've fantasized about it. And I'm always the dominant one. And it is very, within that fantasy world, it does feel like it would be very intoxicating with power. Like I am claiming some power here. Either reclaiming the power or sort of this feeling of wanting to project that I have power, that I am, you know, I am here. This is me. You will not ignore me. I am. Again, I think that stems from insecurity, but some of it. And, you know, again, this is mine. This is me. Okay. This is my own internal feeling about this stuff. This is not true for everybody. This seems to just be something that I have discovered that is true about me while I have been learning about the BDSM kink. So there's that. And I was a little bit nervous about it at first, like I said, with, you know, like the whips and the chain, like that's the other thing too. It goes back to that trust and communication, thing with my husband, or with anybody really. I am having to ease myself into this. And I am a little bit scared, not because of, like the taboo of it or whatever, but more because, you know, we're so far down this road, X number of years down this road, discovering these things. And, you know, there was already, I've already had the experience of like being comfortable with, of thinking, you know, that I would be okay with something only to find out that, there's all this other stuff that, I didn't realize was going to happen when I started experimenting. So there is a little bit of fear there. There is some fear there of what else am I going to discover about myself? What else am I going to find? But I do think that's a positive. I think that is as much a positive as it is a negative. I think that that is something that, you know, especially since I feel like I'm doing it in a safe way and on my own terms, again, with the control. Jesus, Abigail. You know, I feel like it's a good thing. Or I could be totally wrong. I could be completely wrong. That's possible too. Oh, sorry. Fucking loud ass cars in the background. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but I think that's my cue. Yeah, I mean, I could be totally wrong. I've said that before. I don't mind it. It's fine. It's entirely possible. Whatever. So, yeah. Well, anyway. I will continue to work on those things with the kink. I will also continue to recover the lost files of my Asus computer. I'm so upset that I fucking lost that shit. But I will continue, and I will keep you guys in the loop about it. I am very... very excited to share that with you. And Nicholas was amazing. I loved him. He was so fun. And I had a great time with him. His podcast is Nicholas Tenick. My kinky friend, or your kinky friends, excuse me. You can find him on Twitter at Nicholas, NICHOLAS, Tanek, TANEK. Listen to, you know, My Kinky Friends, or your, I keep fucking that up. It's Your Kinky Friends, Your Kinky Friends, the podcast. It's his podcast. It's super fun. They talk about all kinds of cool, interesting things. I was on there. Like I said, if I can't find that interview that I did with him, then I'll post the interview that I did on his podcast until I can find it. You can visit him at yourkinkyfriends.com. Do that. Check that out. That's his Twitter. I'll put that all in the description too. He has written several books, so you can... go support him. Oh, he's got a Discord. You can join that. You just go to his website and you can click on the link to Discord to chat with the Discord people. You can contact him at tenek@gmail.com. Follow him on Twitter. You can go to his Facebook. And yeah. So follow him, do that stuff, check that out. He's great. And then you can follow us at MP Weirdo Podcast on Twitter. We now have an Instagram. So that's fun. It's, you know, it's just the Manic Pixie Weirdo. But we are the_main_weirdo1. That is our name on Instagram. I will keep posting stuff on there. So, and it's linked to the Twitter. So if you just want to find us on Twitter, you can find us on Instagram through the Twitter. So that's really fun. You can email us. What the fuck am I talking about? You can email me at, manicpixieweirdo@protonmail.com. Send me your emails. Tell me what you think. Tell me about your kinks. Tell me about your experience with kinks. You can find us on all the places, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, YouTube. All the stuffs. So I will put all that stuff in the description. Oh, like and subscribe too. I have failed to mention this, but if you like this podcast, if you want to hear more about a specific topic or you're interested or you have a topic or anything like that, email me, but also rate, subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your other podcasting hosts. Do that. It really helps the podcast get us more exposure and stuff like that. So, that would be good. That'd be really great. So that's great, you guys. Okay. Okay. I'm leaving now. I really promise I'm leaving now. As usual, be kind and stay weird. Have a good one, guys. Bye. Love you.